Hello and welcome to Home. My name's Elise McKenna, and this is the series where we get to find out what home actually means to people. What comes to mind when you hear that word? Have you ever thought about it before? Whether you have a place that you feel truly rooted, or you're yet to find your place, we all have something unique to share, and we can all learn a little more about one another. This is the series where we can do that. This is Home. In today's episode, I'm catching up with Meg James, who is one of our lovely Lush Spa therapists currently based in Poole. Now, back when I was a Lush Spa trainer, I got to know Meg and a little bit about her connection to the idea of home, so I knew she'd have something to say on the matter. Meg is not from Poole. She actually comes from Wales and has also lived in London. But it's Wales where our story begins. Not exactly the location, though. Meg began by explaining to me the meaning of an old Welsh word, hiraeth.
Yes, it's a Welsh word which has no direct translation into English, but there's a word in Portuguese which is the closest translation it is to, which I'm not going to try and butcher. But it basically means like a longing for something. And a lot of people associate it with home and homesickness. They used to tell us at school that like it was a special word that the Welsh made up because they missed their home in different ways to everybody else. And I don't know how true that is. But a lot of people kind of use it as a way of describing like a longing for something or someone or a time that you can't get back to. And I don't think that's a specifically Welsh thing. I don't think there's a human being on the planet who can't relate to that.
Yeah, definitely.
But that is a slightly grey way of looking at it. And I kind of like to think of it as, I read like where your spirit lives. And
that's,
I think,
nice.
That's a really nice way of thinking about it. And I think for a lot of people, that is their home or somewhere that they call home or, you know, something like that. And I don't think it's just one thing either. I think it's kind of, it can be multiple things, multiple sort of times and places across your life, yeah.
So is that the first thing that came to your head when I sort of put the whole idea of home out there? Was it this?
Yeah, it always sort of is for me. Mm-hmm. When I lived in London and missed home because it was the first time I'd been away from home, yeah, it was a word I found myself really relating to.
Yeah.
And because it's a Welsh word and because I am Welsh, I think it is the first thing that kind of comes to mind for me when I think about being away from home and living away from home, you know.
Okay, so what kind of things do you long for?
I think for me now, like, it's the security of it, because when I have lived at home, like, I haven't had the, like, adult responsibilities that I have now. But around my family, you know, it's very sort of judgment-free and a very safe environment. It's always been a safe haven, like, no matter what's kind of gone on, where I'm living, you know, whether it was London or here, which are the only two places I've lived.
Were you the kind of person who was like, I want to move away, I'm ready to do it, or was that more of a difficult thing for you?
Not necessarily. When I was a teenager, I knew what I wanted to do at university, which was working in theatre. It was a case of, like, it seemed very logical to move to London. I knew I was going to leave home to go to uni. Like, whether that was Cardiff or whether that was London, it would have been away from home.
Yeah, it was coming. So,
it was coming, yeah. There wasn't, like, a desperate, like, oh my God, I need to leave this place.
Yeah.
It was more of a kind of, like, it felt like the logical sort of next step for me going into adulthood, in inverted commas, because I was just playing at being an adult in London, really, and this is what it's really like.
How did it feel when you got to London? Was there any homesickness, or did you manage to sort of build a little haven there that felt like home?
Yeah, I was homesick. Not necessarily for my home and my family, but just for security, really, going back to that. It was a very different thing coming from somewhere quite small to move to central London, because I moved to Barbican, which is where my halls were.
Wow.
And there's just these massive skyscrapers all around you, and you leave in the morning and there's people with briefcases and nice shoes, and I was like, what is this place?
It's a huge step.
And I got to go and explore things, and I loved it. I found something really thrilling and really kind of, I can't think of the word, but I found something really kind of exciting about it. But I was very much aware the whole time that I was there that it wasn't my home.
Yeah.
I felt at home there, but it wasn't me.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I think it's all right to live somewhere and feel at home somewhere that isn't you as a person, really. Yeah. But I was very different to everybody else. I think everyone else was very kind of British and polite. And I'm not that. But one of the things that I did have in London, which made me feel at home, was probably the nicest thing anyone's ever done for me.
Oh, yeah.
The day I moved, I'd had this big emotional send-off the night before with my friends, like crying outside Wetherspoons and all that kind of thing. And we were driving to London with all my stuff in the back of the car with my parents, and it suddenly felt like, oh God, this is happening, you know. Mm. And we stopped in a service station, and there was a little news agent, and they had all these postcards being like greetings from Wales. And me and my dad took the mick a bit, being, because we're from there, it seemed really weird to send a greetings from Wales postcard. And my dad was like, I'm going to send you one. So he wrote me a little postcard, and sure enough, the week after, in my little box, my little mailbox in my halls, was this postcard from my dad.
Oh.
And I was in London for nearly 4 years, and every week I was away, my dad sent me a postcard.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I've still got them all. They're still at home in a big file. Some of them never came, like some of them got lost in the post. Maybe there's someone living in my old student halls who has some strange postcards from a Welshman.
I love that.
But it wasn't even like, oh, you're doing so well, we miss you, things like that. It was just like funny things he'd heard people say on the bus and things he'd seen. And he'd always like do little drawings on there and stuff. And like, it was a little thing to look forward to, you know.
Yeah.
It was nice for me to have, you know, the reassurance that my parents were always there, because they always said to me, you can always come home. You
that's
know,
nice.
Which was nice.
Having that again is security as well, but it was nice that home was saying hello to you from afar too.
Yeah, yeah. And this was before like FaceTime or anything like that, because I FaceTime my parents most nights now, so I get to physically see them.
So do you think that you've found that there's a difference between home and feeling at home?
Yeah, you know when you're home.
Mm.
Like you just feel it. You just feel all warm and fuzzy and lovely.
Yeah.
And when you feel at home, I feel like feeling at home is comfortable.
Yeah.
But being home is, very much, you know, like it's just kind of feels right and feels very kind of warm and loving. For me, anyway.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's interesting because a lot of people have been saying that there's just something unspoken that you can't really put your finger on, but it's just the sense of knowing within you that something feels right.
Yeah.
Or just something feels like home. So it's nice. Yeah, it's nice to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think as well, I have more of an appreciation for it now than I did when I lived in London. And I'm not really sure why that is.
Mm.
Maybe it's because I have more kind of adult responsibilities now than I did when I was in London.
Yeah.
You know, I have more of an appreciation now, I think, for going home than I did when I was in London, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it does kind of, I found at least, that appreciation grows with age, not that, you know, not
that
we're old.
Yeah, I was thinking it might be that.
The grand old age of, like, mid-20s.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of that sense of longing that we started talking about at the beginning, if you had a place in your mind that was a place that you longed for that you couldn't necessarily go back to, if, for example, you could go back and everything was the way that it would ideally be in your head, would you go back, and do you think it would be a good idea to ever go back to that?
Yeah, I think why not?
Yeah?
Yeah. Thinking about a time rather than a physical place.
Yeah.
One of the times I've been happiest in recent years is when I've been down here training before I moved.
Yeah.
And I came down for a set of training in November 2016, and I was here from the start of November up until a few days before Christmas, basically.
Yeah.
And it was just the happiest I've been in recent years, really. And I didn't have any dramas going on in my life at all, which was nice. I was there learning stuff, and when I've been down training, it kind of feels like this kind of alternate universe, really, like this alternate reality, because you're living in a house with people who you don't normally live with, and you have your expenses paid, and, you know, your only responsibility really is to go to work, learn the treatment and do it well.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, me and the girls, like, I still talk to all of them, even though some of them I'll probably never see again, you know.
Yeah.
We just had the best time, like, getting up to mischief in and out of work, you know. Yeah. And it was just the best. And I always say to people, whenever I talk about that period of time, I would live that 7 weeks over and over again, like Groundhog Day, if I could. And there's several times like that, and days and feelings and things that I would go back and relive, like even if things have changed now.
It's really nice, and that's one of the really nice things about Lush spa training in general, because everyone I speak to says that about their training time in pool. Like, I feel the same because I used to be a spa therapist for Lush. And
it's like uni. It's a bit like uni, but for grown-ups.
For real adults. You're in this, like...
Bubble.
Yeah, you're in a bubble. And it does become, like, a sense of home, like one of your many chapters of home. And
yeah.
It's lovely. Like, if you had, like, a scrapbook of homes, that would definitely be in there. I'm sure most spa therapists would agree who've trained in pool.
When I walk to work in the morning, rather than from the bus station, rather than walking down the high street, I'll walk over Seldown Bridge and along the quay.
Yeah.
And I think... subconsciously, part of that reason is because I get to walk past my old house that I used to live in on Newfoundland Drive for a couple of my training sessions. And walking along the quay is how I walked to Market Street when I was with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it reminds me of a really happy time, you know. Aww. So I know that I kind of have that in the morning to, like, look forward to. And it's kind of almost a bit melancholy, really, because it's kind of, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm doing something different. I can't get it back.
Just thinking about that. Melancholy for homes that are long gone, but they're still part of you. I know that we, like you said earlier, it's a bit of a grey way of looking at things. I think there's something quite nice about it as well, like that bittersweetness. There's like, I don't want to say it's self-indulgent, but it's kind of like, there's a bit of a beauty in it.
Yeah, there absolutely is. And I think it's very relatable as well. I think anybody can kind of relate to it. Oh. It's something you'd kind of think about while kind of staring out of a window, you know?
Yeah. Like,
I think there is something really lovely in it.
Listening to Meg's rather broad approach to home was really interesting to me. It seems that Meg's found a balance between appreciating where you come from and always wanting to hold on to that, but still being bold enough to move away. But I wondered, what was the difference between pool and London? Did anything else help Meg take the leap to relocate again? And how did she approach it this time? Turns out there was a little more left to say.
My own independence and me taking control of things as an adult has really kind of shaped, like, what brought me down here, basically.
Yeah.
Because I kind of had relocation on my mind a little bit at the start of last year. Mm. And then I came down here and I did a week in the pool store. And then I started training with you.
Yeah.
What you kind of can forget sometimes in training is that life at home or wherever it is you've come from does kind of go on.
Yeah.
And I was always really scared of change. I always really kind of feared things changing while I was gone.
Mm.
And I was kind of feeling that quite heavily at the start of last year with you.
Yeah.
And then, you know this because you were there with me at the time, my grandmother passed away.
Yeah.
It was for the first time I kind of had to admit to myself that I was a human being. I spent so much time having a good time in training, which I still was, but I had this constant fear of things changing. And I had to admit to myself that, you know, I was quite fragile.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be scared of change anymore. I can't have this kind of control me for the rest of my life. You know, things are going to change and I'm going to change. And a job came up in pool. And I was like, ooh, this is supposed to happen. What I really like about living down here is I made that choice.
Mm.
The fact that I've done that off my own back, like on my own accord, that makes me feel at home because it was my choice. I went and did it, so that makes me feel really happy here. If I ever do kind of feel a bit down or miss home a little bit or whatever, I just have to kind of remember that and be like, no, you did a really big thing.
So there we have it. Home is a number of things all rolled into one for Meg. It's a place where you've been raised, a place you can end up yearning for years after you've left, just like that word Hiraeth suggests. It's an unspoken sense of comfort, and it can be where your independence leads you in the end. Now let's hear how Meg took to my little set of finishing questions, just to make sure we'd not missed anything. Meg James.
Hello.
Where do you feel your greatest self?
I think for me now, it's when my parents come and visit me.
Yeah.
And they always come down and they're like, look at your flat, this is so nice.
Aww.
And so that is where I feel really lovely.
Good for you. Which of the following words relates most closely to your idea of home? Physical, emotional, nostalgic, evolving.
Physical, I think.
Ooh, you're the first person who said physical. Congratulations.
I think it's just because home for me very much is like a point on a map, you know.
Okay. If home could be a smell, what would it be?
I'm really glad you asked me this. You know how everyone's home has a smell, but you don't necessarily know what it is?
Yeah.
Worked out what mine was a few weeks ago. I made some leek and potato soup.
Right.
And I let it cool on the stove and popped out and came back in. And I realised that that's what my home smells like, because it smells like my parents' house.
It smells yummy.
So it smells of soup, yeah.
Fantastic. If home could be a colour, what would it be?
Red, white and green.
I'll accept that.
Or just green.
Just
I don't
green.
Mind.
I've had a lot of greens and I'm liking that because it's my favourite colour.
Yeah.
What about if home could be a sound?
My cat, my old woman cat, meowing at 6:40 in the morning, every morning. Without fail.
If home could be a taste, what would it be?
This is going to be the most like typical 20 something vegan answer, but avocado on toast.
Great.
Just because when I go home now, I get off the train in Cardiff and my mum picks me up and she'll say after like 10 minutes in the car, she'll go, I got you some bread and some avocado for breakfast tomorrow. So that's just what it makes me think of.
Fantastic. If home could be any other word, what would it be?
I think home kind of stands on its own.
Yeah.
Mm. Everybody, it means something different and kind of sounds and smells and looks different to everybody, so...
Nice
I
answer.
I think it's all right.
Can you tell me what desert island item you'd keep with you at all times to make sure you always feel at home?
It's not an item.
Okay, that's
so
fine.
So I am cheating a bit.
Go for it.
But I think as long as I got this accent, I'll always have a bit of home with me.
Oh, I love that answer. The accent. Great. And finally, if you could write the Meg James Dictionary of Life, what would you put under the entry for home?
I think I'd go with where your spirit lives. I'd steal that from whoever said that about the word hiraeth, but yeah.
Actually, I've got one more question for you.
Yeah, go on.
How do you say thanks in Welsh?
Diolch.
Okay, Meg James, diolch. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Home with our guest, Meg James, and myself, Elise McKenna. The music used in today's episode comes from the album Empire and Love by The Imagined Village, and it's available from ECC Records. If you work for Lush and you'd like to talk about what home means to you, do get in touch via email or via the Podcasts from Lush Facebook group. We'd love to hear your voice. And if you'd like to hear more from Lush, and our ever-growing archive contains interviews, debates and stories with a wide range of charities, organisations and individuals, please download the free Lush Player app, which is available for both Android and Apple.